Well, say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is daf vav in Maseches Ksuvos. We're going to be starting from the top of daf vav, Itmar. So, boss, I remember again, we find ourselves in the middle of an interesting sugya about the permissibility of bia rishona, the permissibility of the first act of bia, the first act of relations on Shabbos night, and the fundamental shayla. The refreshments in the shir are sponsored by Seid and Sima Haken in memory of Sima's father, Yecheskel ben Achasela, and we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama should have an aliyah.
Amen.
Yeah, shekoach, thank you. All right, so we'll say, so again, remember, we find ourselves in the midst of this machlokes, and essentially, the machlokes came down to a couple of fundamental points. Number one, the nature of dam besulim, of the hamino blood, is it considered to be something that is absorbed into the body, and therefore, again, the first bia creates a chabura, creates an injury. Now, remember, again, the Gemara doesn't say this explicitly, although it's understood that the nature of causing bleeding through an injury is asr on Shabbos because it is a part of the malacha of shechita. Again, shechita literally means slaughtering, but the tolda, one of the oshut of that malacha, is any injury that causes one to bleed. Or do we say that ultimately, again, the dam besulim is absorbed outside of the body, and therefore, by definition, the bia rishona, although it causes bleeding, it's not called a chabura, that's not called an injury. And then, of course, the secondary machlokes about that is whether or not one is chayiv on Shabbos for a davar she'ino miskavin, for an act for which one did not intend. So we saw that machlokes yesterday between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, that Rabbi Shimon holds that a davar she'ino miskavin, something for which you don't have intention for, is mutter, whereas Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's aser. So says the Gemara on top of daf vav amud aleph, Itmar bebei Rav Amri, Rav Shari Shmuel aser. In the yeshiva of Rav, they would say that Rav permitted bia rishona on Shabbos, and Shmuel asered it. In Narda, Amri, they said, Rav aser, Shmuel shari. In Narda, they said that Rav said it was aser, and Shmuel said it was mutter. So Amr Rav Nachar bar Yitzchak v'simarach, if you want to remember who is who, v'simarach, elu makilin la'atzman, ve'elu makilin la'atzman. These are lenient for themselves, and these are lenient for themselves. We'll say, in other words, that in the yeshiva of Rav, they said that Rav was lenient and allowed bia rishona, and Shmuel was machmir. And in Arda, which was the city of Shmuel, they said that Shmuel was lenient. Shmuel was mekel, and Rav was the one who was machmir. So Rav Nachman says again, just simply remember, everyone is trying to be mekel for themselves. So the Gemara says, is that true for Rav Shari? Is that true that Rav permitted bia rishona on Shabbos? And I both say, understand. In order to permit the bia rishona on Shabbos, look at Rashi. V'rav shari b'tmiya. The Gemara asks, Niyakasha, ama davar she'in miskavein mutter svirale. So we'll say, in order to be able to permit bia rishona on Shabbos, remember, the Gemara makes an automatic assumption, and we'll get into this sugya later on, but there is an assumption that if a woman is a basula, that there is going to be blood as a result of the bia rishona. That's an automatic assumption that the Gemara makes. Now, we'll discuss, and that is so true, by the way, that the Gemara assumes it to be true even in the absence of seen blood. There's still an assumption that ultimately a woman bleeds as a result of a bia rishona. Again, we'll get into that later. But the Gemara assumes that if Rav is going to say that bia rishona is mutter on Shabbos, it must be because he holds a davar she'eno miskavein is mutter. That since your intention is not to cause her to bleed, that's not your intention. Your intention is not to cause an injury, not to cause a chabura. So yet, that's why it's going to be mutter. So the Gemara says, is that true that Rav holds that a davar she'eno miskavein is mutter? V'hamar Rav Simar Chizkiya, Mishmei Rav, listen to this. Hai misuchriya dinizaisa. Asra lahaduka biyamatava. So we'll say, what is this? Mesuchriya dinetaisa. Look at Rashi. Look at Rashi. Mesuchriya dinetaisa. Stimas nekev gigis. Shemotzien hashecher derech hanekev. Vesosmin also bevlai begadim. So we'll say, you would have a barrel of beer. So what happens if you have a barrel of beer? Right? I'm sure everybody's starting to daydream, right? I have a barrel. Oh, wow, what could I do with a barrel of beer? Right? So again, a person has a barrel of beer. So what happens? Remember, you had a hole from which the beer would come out. But obviously, you need to plug that hole with something. So what would they plug the hole with? They'd plug the hole with a piece of worn-out material. So you'd plug, because again, most of the material works well also because you can mamish create a seal. So they would plug the hole. So the Gemara says like this, that if you have this material plug, we'll call it, Asur lahadoka, Rashi says, mishum schita. You may not go ahead and plug the opening of the beer barrel with the material stopper. Why? Because I will say, when you push that in, you push it in tight, what ends up happening? You end up squeezing out some of the liquid, right? So, and remember, we saw, well, we actually, we've been studying this in Mincha Ma'ariv, that squeezing out liquid that is absorbed into a material on Shabbos, actually you can have one of two prohibitions. It could be malaving, potentially it could be a told an offshoot of the malacha of laundering, or it could also be schita. Rashi understands over here it's schita. Schita is the act of squeezing out the liquid that is absorbed into some other item. So therefore the Gemara says over here, you may not go ahead, in the name of Rav, you may not go ahead and place the material stopper into the beer barrel on Yom Tov. The Gemara says, so what do you see from here? Now again, remember, is my intention to squeeze liquid out of the material stopper? Is that my intention? No. My intention is to plug up the barrels. This is Davar Shina Miskaveh. So the fact that squeezing of the liquid may occur, that's not my intention. And yet what do we see? Rav holds that it's usur. Therefore, what do you see from here? That Rav holds that a davar shena miskaven, an unintentional malacha, is still going to be usur on Shabbos and Yom Tov. If that's the case, remember we just said before that Rav allows for bia rishona on Shabbos because Rav holds that a davar shena miskaven, an unintentional act, is going to be mutter, and yet here we see that he holds that it's usur. To which the Gemara says, no. Abahahu, in this case, Bahahu, afilu Reb Shimon Moda, even Reb Shimon Rabosai, who would agree that a davar shena miskaven is mutter. In this case over here of the barrel stopper, even Reb Shimon would agree that it's aser. Why? The Abai v'Rav Adarmi Tarvayu, Moda Reb Shimon b'psikrei shavalo yamos. Because Rabosai, you've seen this already from our Shabbos days, that even Reb Shimon who holds that a davar shena miskaven, that an unintentional act that results in malacha is going to be mutter on Shabbos, agrees that what? Agrees in a case of psikresha. So psikresha means what? A case where the malacha, it's not just a question of it may happen or may not happen, but what? It will definitively happen. So remember again the case, this comes from the Lashon of Masechta Shabbos, where the Gemara says that the most popular, Zachariah, what's your favorite toy? What? You don't know. You're an easy-to-please kid. He likes to learn. He doesn't like to play. All right. So, remember, in times of the Gemara, so the most popular toy was a chicken head. Was it Zachariah? Maybe Afi Komen. All right. So a chicken head. So remember, again, so what happens? So I want to give my kid a chicken head on Shabbos. So what's the issue? I don't want to kill the chicken. It's not my kavanah to kill the chicken. All I need is its head because I want to give it to my kid. So the Gemara says, Psik reisha v'lo yamos. Can you cut off the head and you're not going to kill the chicken? So this becomes like a catchphrase for an action that definitely results in malacha. So what the Gemara suggests over here is, this is not a case. The case of the barrel stopper is not a case of davar shena miskaven. Because we'll say davar shena miskaven, as we will see, means an act that may result in a malacha, but also may not. So in that case, that's Reb Shimon is matir. But in a case of psikresha, in a case where the act that you're engaging in will definitely result in malacha, even then, Reb Shimon agrees that it's usur. Therefore, in the case of the barrel stopper, that's why everyone will agree that it's usur, because there is no way, you know, to push in that material barrel stopper without what? Without squeezing out liquid that is absorbed in the material, and therefore everyone will agree that it's usur. Va'amrav chiyabar ashi amrav, halacha k'rabi Yehuda. But yet again, we have another statement, that Rav Chiyabar Ashi said the name of Rav, that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. That Allah calls Rabbi Yehuda. And I will say again that here you have an explicit statement saying that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a davar shena miskaven is what? Is usur. If that's the case, how does Rav allow bia rishona on Shabbos? Rav Chana bar Ami Amr Shmuel Lach Rav Shimon. Rav Chiyah bar Abin Masni La Below Gavri. Rav Chiyah bar Abin, he stated this without any attribution. He just simply said, Rav Amr Lach Rabbi Yehuda. Ushmuel Amr Lach Rav Shimon. So Rav Osai, listen to this. So Lemaisa, now we have an explicit statement on record saying that Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, that a davar shena miskaven is going to be usur. If that's the case, that a davar shena miskaven is going to be usur, that even an unintentional act that results in a malacha is usur. Therefore, what? Rav should hold that bia rishona on Shabbos is usur, because again, it will produce bleeding. It will produce a chabura. To which the Gemara says, The olam Rav Rabbi Yehuda Svirle. In reality, you're right. Rav holds Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore Rav holds that a davar shinu miskaven, an unintentional act that may result in a malacha, is going to be asar on Shabbos. I say, how does he allow bia rishona to occur on Shabbos? To which the Gemara says, lahach lishna da amar dam mifkad paki. So also remember, if you go with the approach that the dam is mifkad paki. So remember, what does mifkad paki mean? So if you go back, remember to Amud Aleph. To Hayamid Beis. So Mifkat Pakid means that the blood is absorbed outside of the body. That this blood is not absorbed. That Dam Besul Mahamino blood is not absorbed inside the body. It's absorbed outside of the body. Therefore, again, bless you. Therefore, again, I both say, if you hold Dam Mifkat Pakid, then remember, what does that mean? There's no issue of Chabura. There's no issue of causing an injury. Because causing an injury only happens when you cause someone to bleed, and the blood that is bled is blood that is absorbed in the body. But if the dam besulim is collected outside of the body, meaning it's collected in the besulim itself, it's not absorbed in the body, then there's no issue of chabura. If there's no issue of chabura, Rabosai, then what is the issue? Then what is the issue? Look at Rashi. Lahach lishna da amrit da mifkat pakid va'isra mishum pesachu. Oh, then Rabosai, the issue of bia rishona on Shabbos, if it's not causing an injury, if that's not what it's about, then what is the issue? Remember, we saw this in yesterday's daf. The issue is creating a passageway. Creating a passageway. Rabosai says, what's the issue with creating a passageway? So some want to suggest that lemaisa, that's called bona. That's called an act of building. That's called an act of bona. And therefore, how do you get around the issue of bona? So the Gemara says, mekalkilhu. Eitzel ha-Pesach. This is very interesting. Because of us, I remember, although on one hand it's called Bona, on the other hand, what happens? The woman loses her Besulim. And the loss of the Besulim, by definition, is considered to be a significant loss for the woman. So therefore, even though the passageway is created, at the end of the day, Lemaisa, that's called Mekalkel. That's called something destructive. So because, again, the loss of the Besulim is called something destructive, even loss of Besulim creates the passageway, the first Bia is still considered to be Kilkel. It's considered to be destructive in nature. And because it's Mekalkel, therefore it's going to be Mutter. However, it goes on, Lahach lishna da amar dam chaburi michbar, and according to the opinion who holds that what? That the blood is absorbed within the woman herself, and therefore again, the bia rishona that causes bleeding, that's a real chabura. So the Gemara says, Mekalkel bechaburahu, but lamaisa, again, the act of causing chabura, the act of causing the chabura is an act of kilkul itself. Look at Rashi, Mekalkel bechaburahu, the Rav Savar lak Rabbi Yehuda, af Mekalkel bechabura, the kula, the kapat Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda will hold that in the case of where the act of causing a chabura itself is an act of kilkul, is a destructive act, and therefore you're not chayiv. Okay, so what the Gemara suggests over here is we originally thought that Rav's permissiveness, the fact that Rav permitted bia rishona on Shabbos, indicated to us what? That he must hold that a darvish in the miskavin is mutter. Kamash mula, no. Rav holds the Rabbi Yehuda. Darvish in the miskavin, an unintentional act that results in malacha, is asr on Shabbos. But even if Rav holds that, we just went through the two different possibilities for how we could hold that bia rishona is mutter on Shabbos. Okay, Master of Chista. So Chista raises a kasha. So what we're holding right now is that Rav, now remember, we still have the fundamental machlokas between the yeshivas and Rav and the yeshivas of Shmuel, exactly who was it that permitted bia rishona on Shabbos. And Rav's yeshiva, the Talmidim, were saying it's our Rebbe, it's Rav who permits it, and it's Shmuel that answers it. In Shmuel's yeshiva, they were saying it's Shmuel that's matir it, and Rav that answers it. But leaving that aside, what we've established is we can reconcile Rav's opinion with holding that lemaisa bia rishona is mutar on Shabbos. Fine. Now, massive Rav Chista raises the kasha. Tinokes shelo egia zman aliros. So we'll say if a man married a woman who's very young, and therefore shelo egia zman aliros, Rashi says, b'meseches nida, shelo egia zman aliros, meseches nida, amar ema say egia zman aliros, mishagiyo yimeinu. So we'll say, let's say again, she's very young, and she's not a gedola, so she is below the age in which she has never become a nida. She has never become a nida. So tinokish lo igiyas manaliros v'niseis, and she marries a man. Beishamay omrim nosnin la arba alelos. So we'll say this is actually very interesting. This is very interesting that this is talking about, again, we know, and we'll get into this sugya, that there is dam nida and there is dam besulim. So dam nida is menstrual blood, which again is very specific. That a woman only becomes a nida from uterine blood. So meaning that let's say a woman has bleeds as a result of some type of injury that's not in the uterus, some type of other injury, lemaise again, that does not make her a nida. Therefore, again, technically speaking, when a woman bleeds as a result of dam bisulim, as a result of hymenal blood, so remember, that does not make her a nida. Again, now we'll discuss lemaise today. We are halacha structured a bit differently when it comes to this, but in the purest form, dam besulim does not make a woman a nida. So listen to this. So the Gemara says like this, that if a man marries a woman and she has not yet entered into the parasha of nida, she's young, so she hasn't even entered into the parasha of nida. So the Gemara says that b'shame omrim nosten la arba leilos. We give them 4 nights. Now what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Nosten la arba leilos shekol damim shetira bahen machmas tashmish mechaskin aluhu b'dam besulim. So what that means is we assume that for the first 4 nights, if she bleeds as a result of the bia, that's what? That lemaisa, we assume that's all dam besulim. Because we assume that it could happen that the besulim are not fully ruptured or if during the first bia or even the second bia or even the third bia. And therefore, it's possible that up to 4 times, up to 4 bios after they're married, 4 nights after they're married, we attribute any bleeding that's seen to dam besulim. And therefore, again, it's not halachically problematic. Ubeisulim, besulim say no. Ad shetichya hamaka. Beis Hillel says no. Beis Hillel says we give her, meaning we attribute it to dam besulim as until what? Until the injury heals. Now Rashi says, what does that mean? Ad shetichya hamaka. Kol zman she'ino mishameshes below dam lo chay samaka. So it's very interesting. Beis Hillel holds, and we're going to do this sugya later on. So Beis Hillel holds that lemaisa, that every time she bleeds, machmas tashmish, as a result of bia, we attribute that to dam besulim until she stops bleeding. And then if she were to bleed again, then we can no longer attribute that to dam besulim. We'd have to attribute that to something else. Fine. So igiyas manaliros, what happens again if she's older already? And again, she has a normal cycle, normal menstrual cycle. So she becomes a nida. So what's the halacha v'nisei? So this is talking about now a more mature woman who gets married. Beishamai omrim nosnun la'ayla rishon. So Beishamai says that what? That lemaisa, again, we assume that dam besulim on the first night. Only on the first night. Rashi says, afilu lebi'ilos harbe. Even if they're together many times on that first night and she bleeds as a result of those bios, we attribute all of that bleeding to dam besulim. However, listen to this. Beis Hillel omrim ad motzai shabbos arba leilos. Beis Hillel says, no, we give them 4 nights. Remember, what does it mean until motzai shabbos? Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, motzai shabbos. They have 4 nights, meaning so Beis Hillel seems to say that if she bleeds as a result of bia on those 4 nights, we always assume that that is dam besulim. Now the Gemara says, my love. Now what does that mean? My love, di ilo ba'el, matzi ba'el afilu b'shas. So what is Beis Hillel saying? Beis Hillel is saying if they're together Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, matzi Shabbos, that if she bleeds, that's dam besulim. What do you see from here? So my love, di ilo ba'el, matzi ba'el, does it not mean that lemaise, even if let's say they did not consummate the relationship on Wednesday night or Thursday night, that Beis Hillel is saying what? That they could have Bia Rishona on Friday night. So what do you see from here, Abosai? What do you see from here? That Bia Rishona could occur on Friday night. To which the Gemara says, my love, the ilo boil, matzi boil afilu b'shabbos. Amar Rava. So Rava said, no, lebar m'shabbos. No, he has 4 nights, except what? Not really. He could, right, they could consummate on Wednesday night, Thursday night, matzi Shabbos, but what? But they can't on Friday night. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, 1 sec, what are you talking about? Vaha ad matzi Shabbos arba leilos katani. What are you talking about? The Braisa explicitly said that we give them, Rosa, remember, when it says we give them 4 nights, what that means is lemaisa that we attribute it to dam besulim. But the point of us, without even getting into all the technical details, what's important for our sugya is what? We see that Bia Rishona could occur on Friday night. So how can you tell me, Rava, how can you tell me that it says 4 nights, but they can't be together for the first time on Friday night? It's pashut not true. The Brice explicitly says that they could be together even for the first time on Friday night. Say Allah Amar Rava, Kisha Baal. Oh, what's the case? The case over here is where they already had Bia before. Bia, so according to Rava, what the Brice is saying is like this, that if the Bia Rishona occurred let's say already on Wednesday night or Thursday night, that they're still permitted to have a subsequent bia on Friday night. So the Gemara says, "E kishaba al my kamashmon." What's the chiddush? Again, Rabbi Yosai, we assume that what? That the whole machlokes that's going on here so far is only when? Is only when? Birishona. But the assumption automatically has been that if Birishona has already occurred, no one's discussing about the permissibility to engage in a Bia Shnia or a Bia Shlishis afterwards, right? So what are you telling me now? Rav is going to say, the Chiddush over here is if they had Bia on Wednesday night or Thursday night, that they could have the Bia again on Shabbos. What's the Chiddush? My Kamashmalan, I'll tell you. So the Gemara says, my Kamashmalan, Kamashmalan, Deshari lemival b'Shabbos. It teaches us that the Chasan and Kala, even if they had Bia Rishona before, that they're still permitted to go ahead and have Bia on Shabbos night. How do we? So what's the Chiddush? Kiddush Shmuel. Damer Shmuel said, Pirtza dechuka mutter likanis ba b'Shabbos. And I will say this is actually very interesting. So this actually has like a double meaning. So Pirtza dechuka Rabosai means the Gemara uses it as if there is a very narrow alleyway. And if by going ahead and walking through the alleyway, I'm going to dislodge some stones. So what happens? I'm still permitted to walk through that alleyway, and there's no chashash that the act of dislodging the stones is an act of stira, is an act of demolition. So the Gemara uses this euphemistically to mean that even though they had bia beforehand, nevertheless, pirtza dechuka, the passageway is still very narrow, and it's possible that some of the basulim is still intact, and therefore it's possible that that subsequent bia may still cause some further rupturing of the basulim and some additional bleeding. So I'm at thought that because of that, therefore, the bia on Shabbos when they're first married should, even if it's not to be a Rishona, should still be aser. So, therefore, the Gemara says, "Kamashmalan pirta dechuka mutli kanis ba b'Shabbos." That even a very narrow entryway, and that may cause bleeding as a result of the bia, one is still permitted to go ahead and engage in that bia on Shabbos. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Shemash Yitzvaros, Vahai Nami, and this case too over here with the bia, Dilma Mechabel Porta, right? Perhaps again, he'll still cause some injury to her. So the chiddush over here is, so remember, now what we've established is the Bryce is not talking about bia Rishona. Not talking about bia Rishona. What is it talking about? Whatever it is, bia, shnia, shlishis, whatever. But the point is, they're newlyweds. They just got married that Wednesday. And I might have thought the Havamina was that even if they consummated their relationship on Wednesday night or Thursday night, we still shouldn't allow bia to occur on Shabbos. Why? Because there could still be some further bleeding, because maybe the basulim were not fully ruptured. Still partially intact, somewhat a bit intact. And therefore, again, perhaps the bia should not be permitted lest you cause a little additional bleeding. Kamashmal on what? That it's permitted. Kamashmal on that even. So for our purposes, this is not helpful. Because remember, we don't really care about this case as much. What are we more focused on now? Bia Rishona. We're focused. We have a singular mission over here to try to figure out the permissibility or prohibition of Bia Rishona on Shabbos. And therefore, it turns out this price that does not really help us. Masiv Rav Yosef. Rav Yossi raised the kash. So it's another interesting case. So Rav Chassan, Pater Mikriashma, Laila Harishon, Ad Matzei Shabbos, Im Lo Asa Maisa. So I'll say, here the Gemara quotes the, we'll actually see this was mentioned later on, but this, we saw this in Brachas for the first time. Then what happens? A Chassan is Pater from Kriashma on the first night that he gets married until Matzei Shabbos if he did not consummate the relationship. Did not consummate the relationship. Then I will say, now what's the logic over here? No, do we assume over here? So remember, he's getting married Wednesday night. So what we're saying over here is he is exempt from Kriyas Shema on Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, and Matzei Shabbos. Im lo asa maisa. If he has not yet consummated the marriage. So the Gemara says, now what's the pshat? My love, dibtorit deboi lemivel. Is the assumption over here. Is that what? Is that Lamaisa, he's preoccupied because he has not yet consummated the marriage. So meaning he's preoccupied with the Bia Rishona. And if he's preoccupied with the Bia Rishona, the Chazal understood that what? His mind is not going to be on Kriyashma. It's not going to be on Kriyashma. It's also just very interesting, by the way, because Chazal also understood the psychology as well of marital intimacy. That especially in a framework where people are not really intimate with each other prior to marriage, So by definition, again, that Bia Rishona can be anxiety-provoking for the Chasan and the Kala. And as such, Chazal understood that because we assume that you're, meaning this is not just like preoccupation necessarily just in an eager, excited, aroused sense. This can be preoccupation. Tirda literally means something weighs heavily on my mind. So the idea over here is that the Chasan is pata from Kriyashma for the first four nights if he has not yet done something. Now after the fourth night already, again, you know, it has to have a cutoff. At some point, and that's true, even if you didn't consummate the relationship until after the fourth night, the exemption is gone. But for the first four nights, the assumption is that if he has not yet consummated the marriage, the tirda is present on his mind. So the Gemara says, look at Rashi, my love. I'm sorry, before I get to Rashi. My love, the tarid debayle mevala. Are we not talking about that he's tarid, meaning he's preoccupied because, again, he's going to engage in the Bia Rishona? And I will say, what do we see from this? For our purposes, what do we see from here? That Bia Rishona could occur on Shabbos. Because remember, even on Friday night, he's going to be exempt from Kriyashma because it's possible that tonight is going to be the night that he consummates this marriage. So you see from here that Bia Rishona is permitted on Shabbos. My love, the tarid debayle mevala. Are we not saying that he's preoccupied because he's going to consummate the marriage? Look at Rashi. My love, hide the part, let me Kriyashma b'leil Shabbos, that which we're exempting him from Kriyashma on Friday night, mishum detar b'mitzvah, because he's preoccupied with the mitzvah, debay l'mivah, because he's going to engage a bia, va'osik b'mitzvah, pata b'na mitzvah, and because he has this preoccupation with this mitzvah, the bia rishon is a mitzvah, therefore again, l'maise, he's exempted from Shema. So we see, so again, Rabbos, remember, we have a very narrow focus over here. Our focus is bia rishon amutar on Shabbos or asar on Shabbos. It would appear to be from here, the fact that the chazan is pata from Kriyashma even on Friday night, tells us that what? That Bia Rishona can occur on Shabbos. Because also remember, if Bia Rishona could not occur on Friday night, then what should be his obligation in Shema? He's obligated. Because there's no tirda, because he's obligated. Actually, there's no tirda because Bia can't happen. The fact that he's exempt from Shema on Friday night tells us that there is the possibility for Bia Rishona on Shabbos, which tells us again that Bia Rishona is mutar on Shabbos. Amrali Abaye lo. Abaye says not necessarily lo. The tarid de lo boil. Maybe it's just the opposite. Maybe his bless you. Maybe on Shabbos, his preoccupation is not in the fact that he's going to engage in the bia, but what? A preoccupation that he has not yet consummated the marriage, and what? And now he knows tonight he cannot do so either. So there's a preoccupation not with the performance of the mitzvah, but rather there's a preoccupation in that what? In that he cannot consummate the marriage. Look at Rashi. The tar de lo bal umitztayer shelo bal. He's upset. He's upset that he has not yet consummated, and now on Friday night again, he cannot consummate, and therefore Abaye suggesting that this is a raya to the fact that what? Bia Rishona is aser on Shabbos. Amrali Rav says, one second. Umishum tir de pater. So are you telling me now? So essentially what Ravai is suggesting is that because of the tirda of a lost opportunity, he's going to be exempt from Shema. Now Rav says, is that true? Umishum tir de pater. So do we assume that just in general, because of general preoccupation with something that you're going to be pater? And I also remember, in Rava's model, why is the chasan pater from Kriyashma on Friday night in Rava's model? Because Rava holds, Bia Rishona can occur on Shabbos, and because of that, the tirda is a tirdas mitzvah. He has a preoccupation with the mitzvah. Bia Rishona is a mitzvah, so because I have preoccupation with the mitzvah, osik b'mitzvah, I'm engaged in the mitzvah, even before I'm actually engaged in Bia Rishona. But I'm engaged in the mitzvah, osik b'mitzvah is what? Patra min ha-mitzvah. But according to you, Abaye, if you're going to say that Bia Rishona can't occur on Shabbos, and yet you're still going to exempt him from Kriyashma, why? Because he's upset. Right, because he's frustrated, because he's upset that he didn't get a chance to consummate the relationship yet, and now tonight he's prohibited. Is that grounds to permit someone, to exempt someone from a mitzvah? And let me ask, if you're going to use that logic, Tava Svina Samar, it's just a repeat from Maseches Brachos. So that means, again, if my ship carrying my wares drowned at sea, to give this some contemporary relevance. So you're telling me now that if the market tanked, right, and my portfolio went down, are you telling me now that I'm exempt from Kriyashma? It's tirda. It's incredible tirda, right? I have preoccupation with this. I'm upset, right? I haven't been able, right? I just lost a significant amount of money. Is that going to be a reason now? My ship just sank. Are you going to be telling me now that I'm exempt from Kriyashma? So maybe you'll say, yeah. Maybe he'll say, yes, if you have that level of preoccupation, then yes, you are exempt from Shema. Well, I will tell you that's not true. V'am Rabbi Abba Bar Zavd Amarav, Avel Chayiv B'chal Mitzvah Ha'amuras B'Torah. But yet we learned that an Avel is Chayiv in all Mitzvah Ha'amuras B'Torah, all Mitzvah Shabbosai, Chutz Minat Tefillin. The only exception is Tefillin. I will say, this is talking about Tefillin on the, we learned this in Moed Katan. Tefillin on the first day. Avel does not put on Tefillin on the first day of his Avelos. Not talking about Aninos. In Aninos, meaning the period between death and burial, Avel is exempt from all mitzvos. This is different. This is on the first day of Avelos, the first day of Shiva, an Avel does not wear Tefillin. Why? Shnei Amar, because by Tefillin it says, Shnei Amar Bahen, Fe'er. Because Rabbi said Tefillin is by the Navi Yecheskel, so Tefillin is called a crown, or is called glory. So therefore, because the Avel, it's not fitting for an Avel to wear something that's called the crown or called the glory, therefore the Avel does not wear Tefillin on the first day. But Rabbi said, what do you see from here? Now, an Avel is someone who certainly has a lot of tirda, right? The Avel certainly has mental preoccupation with something else, i.e. loss, and yet what? So if I would have thought that tirda, preoccupation with something, is grounds for exemption from mitzvos, then what should be the status of an Avel? Should be exempt from everything, because right, he ain't tirda gedolim, he's always certainly preoccupied with his loss. But yet, what do we see? That despite the fact that the Avel is preoccupied with loss, nevertheless what? He is chayiv in mitzvos, which tells you that simple preoccupation is not grounds for exemption from a mitzvah. The only time you are exempted is when you are osik b'mitzvah, parta min ha-mitzvah. So Rav says, Abai, you're totally off. You're totally off. The only way we could say that a chassan is parta from Kriya Shema on Friday night is if what? Is if osik b'mitzvah parta min ha-mitzvah, which means that on Friday night, on Shabbos, Bia Rishona must be mutter. Because if Bia Rishona is usher, and you're going to tell me that he's upset, he's preoccupied with the fact that he can't engage in the Bia, no. We don't have such an exemption like that. Therefore, Rabbi says it's clear from the fact that a chassan is exempt the first four nights, imlo asa ma'isef, he did not consummate the marriage, indicates to us that Bia Rishona is permitted even on Friday night, even on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Ela Amar Rava Tanoihi. Rava says, in reality, this whole thing is a machlokes tanoim. This whole thing is a machlokes tanoim. The Tana Chada, because we learned again, according to one opinion, Imlo Asa Maisa Berishon, if he did not go ahead and consummate their marriage on the first night, Pater af b'sheni. Then he is pater even on the second night from Shema, because the assumption is that he's going to be osik mitzvah. He's preoccupied with the bias mitzvah. Therefore, he's pater b'sheni. Pater af b'shlishi. If he did not go ahead and engage in the bias mitzvah on the second night, so he's pater even on the third night. Rabbosai, remember, so let's play this out calendrically. The assumption is first night is when? This is Besula, Wednesday. So if he didn't do anything Wednesday, he's exempt Thursday. And if he didn't do anything on Thursday, then what? He's exempt when? Third night, Friday night, which tells us what Rabbosai, that Bia Rishona can occur on Shabbos. V'tanya idach, but there's a second brisa that says Rishon b'sheni pater. No, if he did not consummate first night, the wedding night, he's exempt from Shema. If he did not consummate the marriage on the first night, he's exempt on the second night, right, Thursday night. But shlishi chayiv, right. But ultimately, again, if he did not consummate the marriage on Thursday night, then comes Shabbos night, comes Friday night, he is chayiv in kriyasha. What does that tell you, right? That there's no mitzvah, meaning, again, I should say there's no mitzvah, meaning that there's an iser, Bia Rishona can't occur on Shabbos. So because Bia Rishona can't occur on Shabbos, therefore what? Therefore the ma'isa, again, he's chayiv in kriyashma. Okay, so I'll say, so that's Rava. So Rava therefore wants to suggest that whether or not the Bia Rishona could occur on Friday night, ultimately is machlokes tanoim. Abai will say, no, hasam nami betir de pligi. So Abai wants to suggest that lemaisa, they're still arguing about tirda, about preoccupation. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Va'abaye, amr lecha, hanach tanoi nami betir de pligi. So these tanoim are also arguing about preoccupation, about tirda. Va'hai de patrele mikriyashma. And that which, so and even that opinion who said that on the third night, on Friday night. The chasen is part of from Kriya Shema. Lav mishum deshari lemival. He's not saying that it's permitted to go and engage a mirishona. Ela kasavar hamitzta'er tsa'er shal mitzvah. So this is interesting. So that opinion will hold. That opinion still holds that Bir Rishon is Asar on Shabbos. Why are you exempt from Shema? Because he's mitzta'er tsa'ar shal mitzvah. He's mitzta'er. I will say, now what does that mean? He has tsa'ar. Really what it means is he has tsa'ar as a result of the inability to perform the mitzvah. Velo dami la'avel detara tirdas derishus. And the truth is, it's not comparable to the case of the avel. Because I will say, technically speaking, even though an avel is preoccupied with the loss, that's not a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. That's the avel's choice to be preoccupied with the loss. She'ein tsa'aro mitzvah. Because there is no mitzvah for the avel to be b'tzar. Afa pi shavilus a mitzvah. Even though avilus is a mitzvah. Oman demechayiv saver tirda lo pater. So what's that? Abaye wants to suggest, and Abaye is model. See, according to Rava, there's a machlokas as to whether or not Biyar Rishona could occur on Friday night. And if your Biyar Rishona can occur on Friday night, then what? What's your status vis-a-vis Shema? Your pater, right? Why? Because osik b'mitzvah, pater mina mitzvah. And again, but according to the opinion of holds that Bir Rishona is aser on Friday night, aser on Shabbos, then you're chayiv in Shema. Abaye holds, everyone agrees that Bir Rishona is aser on Shabbos. So what's the machlokis by Shema? The machlokis is whether or not the preoccupation with inability to perform a mitzvah is enough of a tirda to exempt you from Shema. One opinion says yes, one opinion says no, but in Abaye's view, everyone agrees that Bir Rishona is aser on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "V'hani tanoi ki ani tanoi," and these tanoim are like these tanoim. This sanya hakone says habesula. If one marries a besula, lo yivo betchila b'Shabbos, you may not engage in Biyah Rishona on Shabbos. The Chachamim matirim, and the Chachamim ultimately again, the Chachamim permit it. Man Chachamim, who are the Chachamim? Amarava Rabbi Shimon he. Oh, the Chamar Rabbi Shimon, the Amar Davar Shena Miskavin Mutter, because Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that an unintentional act is considered to be Mutter. Therefore, again, even though the Bir Rishona will cause bleeding, and causing bleeding is Asar on Shabbos, because it is not your intention, because it's not your intention, Rabbi Shimon will say it's permitted. But one second. We just said before, Abbas, remember, in the case of the barrel stopper. That what? Even Rabbi Shimon who holds that a darvashin is kavein is mutter, even Rabbi Shimon who holds that an unintentional act is mutter, agrees that what? What's a psik resha? Something, a malacha that will definitely happen. Even Rabbi Shimon agrees that what? That it's aser. So we'll say, how would you categorize Bia Rishon with a basula? How would you categorize that? As a psik resha. Bleeding is definitely going to occur. If bleeding is definitely going to occur, then even Rabbi Shimon should agree that what? That it's psik resha, and therefore aser on Shabbos. To which the Gemara listen to this. Amar Lei, so he said to him, Lo ka lalu bavlim, she'ena bikin batia. We're not like you Babylonians, who are not proficient in hatia. Eleyesh bikin batia. So what's this? This is interesting. So this hatia literally means tilting. Now what does this mean? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says there's no power. I haven't prepared a PowerPoint for this. So Rashi says, "Vahatia shematin litzdadin ve'ein motziin dam." So apparently, again, hatia meant that there was a way to engage in this bia rishona, where ultimately, again, the besulim would be dislodged, but bleeding would not occur. Okay, so they had this position, or they had this method of penetration that ultimately, again, would not. Again, remember, it would dislodge the besulim, but it would not go ahead and cause bleeding. So apparently, again, the from Aranarius, you saw they were proficient with this in Babylonia, they were not proficient with this. Therefore, I was saying, now, why is this important for our purposes? This is important because what it's saying is you could have Bia Rishona without causing bleeding. Now, once we establish that, then what? Then Lamaisa, that is enough to say that it's not a psik resha. Now, once it's not a psik resha, then already it becomes what? It becomes a darvashin and miskavin. And once it's a darvashin and miskavin, Rabbi Shimon will say that it's mutter. So now we can have a machlokes. The Chachamim will say that the Bir Rishona is aser on Shabbos because they might subscribe to the view of Rabbi Huda. And Rabbi Huda holds that even a darvashin and miskavin is going to be mutter. Now that we've established that there's this thing called hatia, that hatia means it's tilting. And I will say, however they were doing it, this art form has certainly been lost today, right? Because we assume that every Bir Rishona with a basula, all ultimately, again, produces bleeding. Again, assuming that there are besulim intact, we'll get into this more. There are cases, by the way, where the besulim are not intact. There are cases like that. There are cases where a woman is a besula, but let's say, for example, there is a condition where the besulum, the membrane, is too thick and cannot be penetrated. So a woman, when she goes for her exam, her doctor will tell her that bia rishona will become impossible if the besulum, and so they will go ahead and break the besulum, right, medically. So in that kind of case, we don't assume that bleeding occurs. And all the other halachas don't apply either for bia rishona, as we'll get into. But in a regular case, we assume, but lemaisa, they had this practice. They had this practice where somehow they were able to tilt in such a way that bleeding did not occur. Once that's a possibility, then by definition, bleeding as a result of bia rishona becomes a davar shein miskavi, not a psik resha. If it's not a psik resha, then Reb Shimon would say that bia rishona could occur on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, I don't understand, imkain, Torah lama. If that's the case, then why should there be a preoccupation with the bia rishona? Look at Rashi. Rashi says again, imkain de bikiyim, if it's true that these men are proficient with this hatia, right, they know how to do this tilting, and apparently, again, they know how to do this process, then why should there be any kind of tirda? Why should there be any kind of preoccupation with what's going to happen on the wedding night? And if that's the case, why should there be any kind of exempt from kriyashma? To which the Gemara says, imkain torad lama, l'sheino baki, because not everybody is proficient in this. So because not everybody is proficient in this, therefore, again, the men who are proficient in it, then what? Then Lamaisa, again, they don't have a tirda, but the men who are not proficient in it do have a tirda. One second, this is very strange. Yomru, baki mutter, she'eno baki aser. So you're going to tell me then that's what? That, like, we write chasen, tell me, do you know this whole atiya thing? So if you're proficient, then you have to say shema. But you're not proficient, you don't say shema. So what's the pshat? We're going to have two sets of halachas, depending on how much the chasen knows, to which the Gemara says, rov biki en hein. This is very interesting. So the Gemara says, the assumption is, most men are biki. Now, we'll say, now, what does this mean? Now, this is not talking about experience. What this is talking about, most men are versed in this concept of hatiya, in this ability to go ahead and dislodge the besulim without going ahead and causing bleeding. Look at Rashi, Rov Biki and Hain, Hilchach Stama Lav Psik Reisha V'lo Yamus. And I will say, remember, this all matters for one very specific purpose, which is what? One very specific case, which is what? Bia Rishona on Shabbos. That's what we're focusing on over here. So what the Gemara is suggesting is the following. Now remember, I will say, just follow this progression over here. So we've established, number one, is what? That there's the concept of Hatia. There's the concept of tilting, which allows Bia Rishona to occur without what? Without bleeding. So once that occurs, then Bia Rishona on Shabbos is not a Psik Reisha, it's a Darvish and a Miskavi. Meaning, even if bleeding does occur, that wasn't your intention, and that's okay. Reb Shimon agrees. Reb Shimon holds that Darvash and Miskavein is mutter on Shabbos. Now what we've just established is what? The majority of men are familiar with Hatiya. The majority of men are familiar, again, with this tilting. Therefore, again, the assumption is that by Rov Bnei Adam, by Rov men, Bia Rishona on Shabbos is not the Psik Reisha, but is a Darvash and Miskavein, and therefore what? And therefore what? Is mutter, and therefore is mutter. So the Gemara says, "Amar le Rava bar Rav Chanan, Amar le Rava bar Rav Chanan la Abaye." So Rava bar Rav Chanan said, "Abaye el me'ata shashvina lama mapa lama." So we'll say, "Listen to this." So what's interesting over here is the following. So we're going to get into this later on, that remember there were certain measures that were taken in order to ensure that. There was a hakpada that on the wedding night, Chassan and Kala would use a white sheet. Now, the reason Chassan and Kala would use a white sheet is to show evidence of the basulin, to show that there was blood on the sheet, evidence of the basulin. Now, I will say, now, the reason for that is because, remember, if the man comes forward later on and claims that she was not a basula, I will say, remember, a man could claim this for a whole variety of reasons. You know, buyer's remorse, right? Buyer's remorse, right? You know, I thought I loved her. I don't love her. I want to get out of this. The easiest way to get out of it is for him to claim she's not a basula. Because I will say, if he claims that she's not a basula, ultimately, again, he could claim mekachtos. He could potentially void the marriage. So in order to make sure that the husband doesn't play any kind of tricks, so we go ahead and essentially that sheet was saved. That sheet was saved because that was the proof of her besulim. That was the proof. So what they used to do is they used to go ahead and set up shoshvina. And shoshvina literally means attendance. So there were people that the next morning would go ahead and make sure to go ahead and collect that sheet, right? Or mappa. I'm sorry. The wife could play tricks also, absolutely. Right, goes both ways. So mapa lamli, so mapa also refers to the sheet. So they would go ahead and they would have the shoshin, they would have the attendance, they would have the white sheet. So again, Rabbi says, what the Gemara is asking over here is, if already you're telling me that lamaisa, you could have bir rishona without blood, so then what's the point of all of this stuff? To which the Gemara says, look at Rashi just a moment. Shoshvina lama me'achar sheish b'kiyin levo below dam. Now that we've established that you can have bia rishona without blood, hod disanyi lakama, that's which we'll learn later on. Hayu ma'amidalan sheish shoshvinan achalo ve'achalo. They were each given an attendant, one for the man, one for the woman. Kedei lemashmish esachasan Why don't you need any of these things? To which the Gemara says, no, what we're concerned about over there, Bozai, is a case where they will see blood. You're right, in Lachinami. If there's Hatia, then the need for the sheet or the need for the Shoshinan is not really present. But in a case where there was no Hatia, in that case, that's where we're concerned that someone may destroy the physical evidence of the Basulim. Rashi says, Shemaloyata. You're right, the sheet and the attendants only play a role where, again, Hatia did not take place. Viyotzidam, Viyotzidam. Because also remember, here's the case: if the bia rishona occurred with hatia, so we will see. We'll get into this later on. But when there's hatia, apparently some of the basulim still remain intact. So there's physical evidence. Is physical evidence present that he did not fully dislodge the basulim? So if he claims that she's not a basula, she has physical evidence. She could undergo an examination, and it's clear that part of the basulim are still intact. Therefore, he can't make that claim. So the only reason we need the sheet and we need the attendants is in a case where there was a regular bia without hatia, and therefore we want to make sure he doesn't destroy the evidence. Fine. So the Gemara says the following: Master Rav, let's just do two more lines. Master Rav Ami, Hamafis Morsa B'Shabes. If somebody literally, like the technical term is lancing a boil, right? So you want to go ahead and essentially open up the boil to allow the pus to drain out and allow it to dry out. So what happens if somebody goes ahead and lances a boil on Shabbos? Im la'asos la'peh, if you're lancing it in order to create an opening for it, right? Meaning you want to actually create an opening, chayiv. Why are you chayiv? Rashi says, shehu metakin pesach. You are creating an opening. V'chayiv mishum boneh. And you are chayiv because of building. The Ashkechan binyan b'balichayim d'chsiv v'ayivan asatzalar. This is actually quite beautiful. That where do we find building by people? The lashon that the Torah uses by the creation of Chava is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the tzela, took the rib of Adam HaRishon, and he built it. So you see that there's binyan b'bnei Adam. There's binyan by people. So if you lance the boil for the intention of making an opening, that's called binyan. However, v'im l'holtzi min aleicha, but if your point is just to take out the pus, then what type of zayin? Potter. You are potter. The Rabbi says, so what do you see? V'kai malan potter u'mutu l'chatri l'b'yitzios b'shabis. So what do you see from here? You see from here that you're permitted to do something that what? That's going to cause bleeding as long as your intention is not to make an opening. So too again what? Bia Rishona should be permitted on Shabbos because that also causes bleeding. But apparently as long as my intention is not to create the Pesach, not to create the opening, because we already went through this. Because you could even say it's Derech Kilkul, then it should be Mutter. To which the Gemara says, no. Hacha Pakit Velo Akir. Hasam pakid va'akir. Hacha pakid v'lo akir. We'll say, look at Rashi. Hasam kabilecha pakid. Right. So by the case of the boil pakid, all of the blood or all of the pus. Really, not the pus. It's the blood. The blood is collected outside of the body. You know, we'll say the assumption is that the blood that comes out of the boil is what? Absorbed in the boil itself outside of the body. So it's pakid, kanus biyachad, va'akir, kulam min abasar va'omid latse. So by the case of the boil, the blood is fully collected outside of the body, and therefore when you lance that boil, blood is not coming from inside of the body, it's only the blood that was already outside. Meaning, essentially the Gemara is saying is, when it comes to the case of the boil, that blood is already considered to be detached from the body. Because it's detached from the body, that is not the malacha of shechita. However, hacha, but over here by dam besulim, what's the halacha? Pakitu velo akir. It is true, it is collected. It is collected in the Besulim below Akir, but it is not fully detached from the body. Look at Rashi. Pakitu velo akir, legamre, ela nivla kitzas biksalim. That blood, the hymenal blood, is still a little bit absorbed within the vaginal walls as well. Afa pi she'eno mechuber, kishar dam ha'evarim. Even though it's still somewhat detached from the body, ela kanus, it's collected. Mihu dome le mechuber hu she'eno muchan latzeis kalecha. But it's not like the case of the boil. Because in the case of the boil, the reason why we're okay with you opening up the boil, as long as your attention is not to create an opening, because that blood is collected and that blood is fully detached. With dam besulim, as much as it is a little bit more concentrated and collected in the besulim, it's not what? It's not considered to be fully detached from the body, and that's why there is a potential issue. So Rabbi Yossi, we'll stop over here, and to a certain degree, we're not too much further along than the way we started today. Because the truth is, we started with a fundamental machlokes. With the fundamental machlokes between Rav and Shmuel about the ability to go ahead and engage in Bia Rishona on Shabbos. So again, machlokes on who said what, but lemaisa, again, we're still left with that same machlokes. But we have established a number of different things. We have established, first of all, that, again, this really is very much dependent on a machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon about Davar Shein Miskaven. Because what we've established is that Bia Rishona need not be a psik reisha. Now, that's very important, because remember, if Bia Rishona was a psik reisha, then what would be the halacha? It would appear that everybody would pretty much agree that it's usur. But now that we've established that, bless you, that there's this concept of hatia, this concept of tilting, where you can have Bia Rishona without bleeding, so that makes Bia Rishona on Shabbos not a davar shein miskaven, excuse me, not a psik reisha, but a davar shein miskaven. Once it's a davar shein miskaven, that leaves room for the machlokes, but we are still left with the same machlokes. Is Bia Rishona permitted on Shabbos or not? And Meretz Hashem to be continued and to be resolved tomorrow.